All right, so this is week two. For those of you who are maybe visiting here this morning, we just started a new series called You Asked For It. And this is a series that we've never done here at Grace Church before. And it's been a fun experience, a new experience, a little scary from our side because we've never had the opportunity to do something like this. So what we basically did is asked our congregation to go ahead and ask the questions that have been dwelling on their hearts that maybe they're afraid to ask their pastor, you know, face to face. And what they did is just wrote anonymous questions and stuck them in a box. And then Pastor Steve and I have gone through those. And we're going to attempt to do our best to really address the questions of the people. I feel like that's what church is here for, not to stray away from the difficult conversations or to just pretend that everybody is good, but to know that we're all broken and we all don't have the answers, and we're going to together seek the truth. And that's what we're going to do here this morning. Last week, we talked a little bit about creation versus evolution. We had a question from one of our students that was just struggling in the world today that just shoves evolution down your throats. And the question was great, is how can we believe in a God when there's so much talk about evolution? So we talked about that. And thank you guys who got back to me this week, either on Facebook or whatever, and just continued that research. I gave you guys some resources last week, so thank you for continuing. And that's something that we need to continue researching so that we have answers, not just for our kids, but for the lost that come to us and really seek and have real questions. Y'all know that? The lost people really have real questions, and that we as the church should be able to provide an answer. I think that's in scripture somewhere, isn't it? Yeah, that we should be able to provide an answer. So keep researching there. This week, we've got a great question. It sounds simple, but it is such a great question in simplicity that I think is on the hearts of so many people in the church today. And this is what the question is this morning. It simply says, how do you know you're saved? How do you know? It's with capital letters underlined, no. How do you know you're saved? It says, I believe in God, but I don't feel different. It says, I believe in God, but I don't feel different. So that's what we're going to dig in. Let's pray real quick. Father God, Lord, I pray that you just open our hearts right now. You'd open our minds. Lord, I pray that that you'd allow your spirit to speak through me this morning, that you would just recall the things that I've studied this past week, Lord, and just hide me behind your cross and allow your truth to go out. In Jesus' name, amen. So I love this question, and this is a question that it's one of the questions that I feel like people are afraid to ask their pastor, you know, because it's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm saved, I have a relationship with Jesus. But this question is on so many people's hearts. It was in the question box quite a few times. This is not the only one that asks this question. So how do you know? Like, how do you know that you're saved? It says, I believe in God, but I don't feel different. And the first thing that I really went to was obviously right in scripture, but I jumped right to Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. And that simply says, I'll read it and then we'll discuss it. So Romans 10, 9 through 10 simply says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, so that's the first thing I go right to is Romans 10, 9. Is that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? And I think that's what gets us sometimes. I think a lot of the time in the church, we are searching for that feeling of, yes, I'm right with God, you know? And we're all searching for that emotional connection. But sometimes that doesn't come right away. And it takes work to get there. And not alone that, but we can't always go by what we feel, right? We got to go by what Scripture tells us So it's so simple, but it's so powerful. So how do you know that you're saved? If you've confessed with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is your Lord, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, not just head knowledge, not just you've studied a little bit, and yeah, there's this guy named Jesus, and he did some pretty cool things, and he said he was God, but when you've brought that from the head to the heart, it says when you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's it. How do you know if you're saved? Have you done that? Have you done that? Do you believe in your heart that Jesus was God in human form? That he came to this earth to die for your sin? That he literally got put up on a cross for you? That he died and was raised again? Do you believe that in your heart? And have you confessed that with your mouth? Whether that's through prayer, just in alone time with you and God, whether that's with a pastor, with a friend, have you done that? If you've done that, then you should know that you're saved, that you have a relationship with Jesus. But what's going to happen? What's going to happen is maybe you've done that, and then what starts to happen? Some doubt starts to creep in, right? Man, I still have sin in my life. Man, I'm still not doing what I need to be doing. Am I really saved? And I truly think that that is a work of the devil, honestly. I think that is spiritual battles, right, that we were talking about downstairs this morning. That is a spiritual battle that we go through that allows us to doubt whether we are truly saved, whether we're truly his. Also, I would go to Romans 10:13. It just says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9. This is a great verse. This talks about being saved by grace through faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So we're saved by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, that he was who he said he was. He was God in human form, that he came and died the death that we deserved and was raised again. So we're saved by faith. We're not saved by works. Y'all know that, right? Okay. You can take your little sheet that you have that has the checklist on it about church attendance. You know, like, I've been to church this many times this year. I'm good. God doesn't look at that. It's important, yes, absolutely, and we'll talk about that this morning, but we're not saved by our works. I don't care how many old ladies you've walked across the street with their groceries. That doesn't mean you're okay with God. That doesn't, okay? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, then you know that you're saved. So I wanted to... I love this question so much in its simplicity, but just powerful. I wanted to dig into it a little more. And I think that, you know, once you know that you're saved, once we've experienced salvation, there should be some evidences of that in our lives. So I wanted to talk about that a little bit this morning. And this can be another evidence of how you know you're saved, how you know that you're in right standing with God the Father. Some evidences. Matthew 7:20 says, therefore, by your fruits, you'll know them. Okay, by our fruits is how people will know whether we are a child of God. By some of our outward, not appearances, but outward works. Okay, it's not our works that save us, but our works can be an evidence that we are saved, that we are in the right standing with God. And I wanted to jump into 1 John this morning. 1 John was actually written for this very purpose. It was in 1 John 5:13 says this, and you can just listen along. I know it's going to be hard to follow with all the scripture. But 1 John 5:13, this is literally why the book of 1 John was written. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Okay, so 1 John was literally written so that people could know to know that they know that they know that they're saved. Y'all get that? This is why this book was written. Written to believers, okay? So there's kind of, as you go through the book of 1 John, there's some kind of like a little litmus test that you can kind of test yourself to see if these evidences are present in your life today. And I found this, and this is just great. And it breaks down this litmus test into questions. So I've just got some questions for you this morning. So here's what we're going to do. Let's see. 1 John 1:3. And this is the question. Here's, again, we're talking about evidences of a true salvation. Do you enjoy having fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? Do you enjoy having fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? And this is from 1 John 1:3. It says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And true, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Okay? Here's one. That's one question, one test. Are you truly saved? Do you enjoy fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? Right? I think a lot of us could say yes to the first part. Do you enjoy having fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? That's the hard part, right? That's when we start dealing with the flesh versus the spirit, and you know, we got to deal with other people. Amen? So, do you enjoy having fellowship with Christ and his redeemed people? One evidence there. Number two, would you say you walk in the light or walk in the darkness? Would you say you walk in the light or walk in the darkness? 1 John 1:6-7 says, if we say we have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. There's another evidence right there. Would people say you walk in the light or walk in the darkness? Can they see a change in your life? Can they see the change? Are you still walking in darkness, or are you walking in the light? Again, what did it say? If you say you have fellowship with him but walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. We're lying and deceiving ourselves. All right, number three. Do you admit and confess your sin? Do you admit and confess your sin? Another outward evidence that you have a relationship with God the Father. 1 John 1:8 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Another evidence, another outward evidence that we know that we're saved. Number four, are you obedient to God's word? That's a tough one. Are you obedient to God's word? We all fall short of this one. Amen? Me included. But 1 John 2:3-5 says, now by this we know that we know him. By this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, that's an outward showing that we know God the Father. Do we keep his commandments? Okay? He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar. That's a harsh word, and I didn't put it in there. God put that in there. That wasn't me. Okay, so don't get mad at me. Okay? He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know. Again, by this we know that we are in him, that we have a saving relationship with God the Father through Jesus, okay? Are you obedient to God's word? We all need work on that one. But are you striving, are you making an effort to be obedient to God's word? All right? Five, does your life indicate you love God rather than the world? Whew. Does your life indicate you love God rather than the world? Tough one. 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Again, another outward appearance of knowing that you're truly saved, that you're truly one of His. And this is a process. This is a process right here. Does your life indicate you love God rather than the world? Okay? Is your life characterized by doing what is right? Is your life characterized by doing what is right? 1 John 2:29. If you know that He's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Anyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. Okay? Are you characterized by doing what is right? If people wouldn't characterize you by that, we may need to go back and make sure that your salvation is solid. If you're not characterized by that, if you don't think of yourself in that way, is your life characterized by doing what is right? 7, this one's tough. Do you seek to maintain a pure life? Do you seek to maintain a pure life? 1 John 3:3. Everyone who has this hope in him, salvation, hope of eternity, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, okay? Just as he is pure, God the Father, okay? Do you seek to maintain a pure life? And we've talked about this before, this process of that big church word, sanctification, right? Where through time, we should be slowly and gradually looking more like Christ. And that's a long process. And some of us, all of us, will never get to the end, right? Amen? We're never going to look truly like Christ. But are we in that process of sanctification? And that's not a passive process, by the way. That's an active process that we need to be involved in. Active. So do you seek to maintain a pure life? Do you see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life? Here's an evidence that you're one of His, right? Do you see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life? You should see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life. We all struggle. We all fall short. But there should be a significant decreasing pattern of sin in your life. And I'll give you the scripture for that. 1 John 3, 5-6. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. Now again, this is not talking about being perfect. Amen? Because we're never going to reach that. But this is talking about a lifestyle of sin. And we should see in a person who is truly His, and someone who knows they are saved, has confessed with their mouth, and believes in their heart that Christ is Lord, we should see a decreasing pattern of sin in your life. People should be able to see that. You should be able to see that. Next one. Do you demonstrate love for other Christians? Woo! I'm going to drop the mic right there and just walk out. Do you demonstrate love for other Christians? We're called to, man. It's not easy, but we're called to. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. We know we've passed from death to life. We know we've been saved. We know God has given us a new heart because we love the brethren. And that's not an easy thing. Again, that's a process. But that's an outward sign that you're truly His. If you really find yourself struggling and trying to stay away from the brethren and keeping your distance and not having anything to do with church, that we need to go back. Okay, that's a problem. It's not from me, it's from Scripture. And I heard this illustration just recently. It's kind of like when you get married, right? When you find your mate, when you find your wife or husband, there's like a joint package there. Like, you not only marry your wife, but you marry your wife's whole family, right? I'm sorry, I'm going on, like, I'm treading easily here. All right. Thin ice. Love you, mama. But it's a joint package, right? When you get married, you get the wife, you get the whole family. Right? Guess what? There might be some crazy people in that family. But you get the family anyway. But it's the same when you come to Christ. When you're married to Christ through salvation, guess what? You get the family too. And the family is the church. And the church is crazy sometimes. But if you can't learn to love the brethren, if that's really a struggle for you, we need to go back and make sure that you have truly experienced salvation. I know it's hard. I know it's not easy. I've only been a pastor for 3 years something, and I see the struggle, right? But we should, at some point, develop a love for the brethren. All right. Next question. Do you walk the walk versus just talking the talk? First John, I'll just leave that one there. 1 John 3:18 through 19. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's just not say it, but in deed and in truth, in our works as well. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Again, are we just saying things with our mouth, or are we really, do we mean what we're saying? Are we walking the walk, or are we talking the talk? Do you maintain a clear conscience? Beloved, in our heart, this is 1 John 3:21. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Can you maintain a clear conscience? If you have trouble maintaining a clear conscience, let's go back and make sure that that salvation is solid. And last one, do you experience victory in your Christian walk? 1 John 5:4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Do you experience victory in your Christian walk? We should have some victories, y'all. If we are his, if we have been brought into the family, we should experience some victories. Again, it's not overnight. It's not today I gave my life to Christ, tomorrow the world is perfect. Right? But we should experience some victories in our life. And if we're not, that's a problem. Okay? We need to go back and search our hearts. Again, there's some outward evidences of how we can know that we're saved. So as I was reading those questions, if your answer was no to the majority of those, let's talk. Let's have a conversation. I'm not saying that you needed to say yes to every question. Again, it's a process. But I would hope that if you have confessed and believe in your heart that Christ is Lord, that some of what we just talked about is true in your life. So come and talk to me. Real quick, I'm going to do one more quick question, and this is very similar to it. And again, this is a very similar question. It says, how do you know God instead of just him being a feeling? Okay, we talked about that. But how do you know him personally? How do you know God personally? I think that's one of those Christianese type of sayings we say in church all the time. We need to know him personally. And then we go home and scratch our heads and we're like, what does that even mean? Like, how do you know him? What is he talking about? But I found this just kind of real practical application here for how we can get to know God, how we can get closer to him. And my first question is, again, how can we know God personally? Well, how do we know anybody personally? How do you get to know your mate personally? How do you get to know your kids personally? How do you get to know your neighbor personally? And the answer is, you spend time with them, right? You spend time with them, you get to know them. So I'm just going to give you this quick little anagram that I found and I love. Just practical stuff for how we can get to know God personally. And it's going to go through this word, growth. G-R-O-W-T-H, growth. Go ahead and write that down if you want. But literally, the G says, go to God in prayer daily. Okay, and that's from Philippians 4:6. Go to God in prayer daily. That's a way that we can become closer to Him, how we can know Him personally. Go to God in prayer daily. Philippians 4:6. The R for growth is read God's word daily. Y'all know that this is how God talks to us, right? One of the main ways the Spirit talks to us is through His word. If we're not reading it, how are we going to get to know Him? I mean, it sounds simple, but it's hard. I know it's hard. It's hard for me. Read God's word daily. That's from Acts 17:11. The O in growth just says obey God moment by moment. Just obey. Do your best to obey. John 14:21 says, He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. The W in growth is witness for Christ by your life and your words. Be a witness for Christ by your life and your words. That's how we get to know God personally. The T in growth is trust God for every detail of your life. Trust. Trust God for every detail of your life. 1 Peter 5:7. H is hand over control to the Holy Spirit. Allow Him to empower your daily life and witness. And that's from Galatians 5:16. Real practical things. How do we know God personally? We got to spend time with Him, y'all. I mean, that there's no other way around it. We have to find time in our everyday life to spend with God. And if we don't, we're not going to know Him. We're still a child of His, but we're not going to have that intimate relationship that I think everyone is really striving for. We have to know Him. So growth. Go to God in prayer. Read God's word. Obey God. Witness for Christ. Trust God. And hand over control. And then finally, find a good church. Amen? Find a good church and get involved. God works through the local church. If you want to know God and know Him personally, get involved in a local church. And don't just be a spectator. Don't just come Sunday morning, sit, and go home. Get involved. Serve. Fellowship with your, again, with your brethren that you're supposed to love, that you're struggling to because they did something wrong last week. And, right? Find a local church. Get involved. And that's from Hebrews 10:25. Again, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. All right, let's go to prayer. Father God, we thank You again for this time this morning. Lord, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You just for, the opportunity to talk about real questions, to maybe do things a little different, to step away from our normal preaching per se, Lord, and just get down to real life. And Lord, I pray that something that was said here from the stage this morning was of You, and I pray that it penetrated hearts this morning. And not only that it would be rooted in their hearts, Lord, but that it would grow and that it would bring about life change in the heart of the believer. Lord, I pray that if someone's here this morning and they don't know that they know that they know that they know that they're saved, that they would come and talk to somebody, Lord, that they would go home and again confess You with their mouth and believe in their hearts that You have paid their debt of sin. Lord, we don't want people to leave this place questioning whether they're of You, whether they're in You. So Lord, I pray Your Spirit right now would just convict hearts and draw them to salvation, Lord. Lord, we thank You for what You're doing, what You're going to do through this series. Continue to work in Your church. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.